So we'll call this meeting to order. This is the April 27th meeting of the American Rescue Plan Act Special Committee. It is 5:02. And could you please call the roll?
Criswell.
Here.
Corcoran. Levine.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Sperry.
Here.
Bartels.
Here.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll see when Legislator Corcoran can join us. I wanted to start the meeting with a huge thank you to all the committee members. We were given a monumental task, and it was basically like drinking from a fire hose. And I really think that we've done a great job of understanding the mission and vision of this committee, and then really creating a very good matrix to look at all these different projects against, and then spending a lot of time thinking about them and scoring them. And we did a tremendous amount of work in the past couple months. Former legislators who have been here before know that this was a lot of work in just a short time. So I just want to say thank you. And I really appreciate your attention to the work. And I want to send out a huge thank you to Amber. Amber has been an amazing clerk for us, and she has tirelessly put together every sort of report I've asked of her and gone above and beyond and produced new reports. And Amber, you have been amazing to work with, and I really, really appreciate all your efforts. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Today's meeting is going to be different from previous meetings in that we are going to take a little breather today. We do not have any presentations from anybody looking for funding. And so what we're going to do today is take a little bit of a pause, a little bit of a breath, and we're going to try and better understand where we're at right now with the finances. We are going to look at where our money has been committed so far, and we'll talk about how we feel about that distribution. And we're going to also look at it compared with other municipalities and see how that plays into our future thinking. And then we're also going to look at our priorities and where we're at in terms of what we had designated as our priorities with what we've actually spent and what pot of money we have left. And then that will kind of help us figure out what's next down the pike. Does that sound good with everybody? Great. All right, so I think what I'd like to do is, first of all, talk a little bit about reporting. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's quarterly reports that the county has to send to the federal government. And there is a quarterly report that's due April 30th, and it has not been submitted yet, but it should be submitted soon. And Comptroller, do you want to talk to us anything about that?
No, I look forward to getting a copy. I mean, I think the ARPA team is putting that together, and I look forward to seeing it.
Great. Okay. So, yeah, what we've been doing is we've been doing a little bit of tracking with, you know, basically we've gotten the money in, and we are submitting invoices for what we've spent, basically showing that we've spent down this money. And so it'll be interesting to see when that happens. Does anybody on the ARPA team want to talk about that process and kind of where we're at with it?
Legislator Criswell, thank you. I'd be glad to talk about it and Comptroller Gallagher. Quarterly reports, they're called expenditure reports. They're required by the U.S. Treasury. Our draft is completed. It is waiting to be signed. There is a resolution, so the guidance is clear. We will comply in every way with the resolution. We have 10 days, I think after the due date or after the submission date, I have to check that, but to provide that, and we did that last time. So no problem. We know the rules there, and we're happy to do it. Yeah, I think if you want me to go further, I have been talking to Bert, and I probably can give you an idea of our numbers, which, you know, we look strictly, you know, based on definitions by the final rule of what obligated is and what expenditures are. So I think you're going to see something different than what you're probably looking at as far as what's, you know, as far as resolutions, what's put forward in resolutions. There is a lot and some higher numbers out there as far as funding authority, but those don't necessarily mean that the funding meets that definition of obligated or expenditure. So, but I'm happy to provide that if needed.
Great. I think that's really going to come into play when we start looking at, we're starting to get down to, you know, lower numbers, and we're going to want to know at some point, what's the reality here of what we have to spend. And so that will be really helpful as these quarterly reports are filed, and, you know, where we're looking at what we budgeted for something, where it's actual. And then, you know, if we've got room to then continue to spend, or do we have to really tighten? So those will be what I imagine is our future conversations as the spending actually gets recorded. Does that seem right to you as well?
Yeah, I think they will be helpful. And it is, you know, our one, because of where we sit as a county and recipient of ARPA funds, we don't have to do annual reports. This is our one report, which is four times a year. And it's our one major communication tool with U.S. Treasury. So it will be helpful in that way. And there's a lot, I just always like to encourage, if people want to know about the reporting and the reporting process, there is a lot of information out there at this point. It does get tweaked and let's say improved or expanded upon, you know, especially because these are the first initial reports to U.S. Treasury. Treasury has put out webinars, multiple webinars at this point. They are available on YouTube. There is also, you know, hundreds of pages of guidance. That said, the reporting tool isn't that complicated. I think they did a nice job of creating a mechanism that makes things simpler out of a complicated process.
That's great. Can you remind us of what our final spend by date is? Because there is a spend by date, isn't there?
So as far as, you need to be obligated by the end of 2024, you need to be expended by the end of 2026.
26, okay.
Which is, you know, obligated. So obligated is the first task, and that has a definition. Essentially, I think of it as it can be contracts signed, for example, and that's probably the biggest way I think of it, particularly when we get into our subrecipients. And so that's the biggest task before the end of 2024, and then expended is another subsequent bigger task.
And that's something that you'll keep us apprised of, is in terms of when we've actually obligated the money, right?
So you're going to see it in the reports. The reports break it down. These are all good questions, because I think there's a lot of learning in these processes. Yeah, and so I can send it out. I can even send it out with, you know, when I send out this report, I can maybe provide those definitions. They do break it out by obligated and expenditures, so you're going to see those two numbers pretty clearly. We break down projects. They do have a slightly more complicated list of expenditure codes. Probably best though to see the report when we submit it, and then.
Yeah, is there an executive summary or anything like that with this report?
There is, yeah. So there is a like my projects page, I guess. At the moment we have four projects. So I'm looking at the draft, and I can just verbally report. You know, there is a, so like, in rows running across, there's four different projects, and we have We have pods, we have payments of frontline workers, we have administration, and we have the constituent services navigator,
right.
That are our four projects currently, because those are the only ones that have been expended upon. And then there's a column for our total obligations and total expenditures. And so it should be real clear.
I guess what I'm asking for, if it's not a lot of work, is just like a really simple high level report. Because I just have a feeling that legislators are not going to want to dig into a 30-page, however many page your report is. So if there's something that's just like super high level of, you know, what's been expended at this point, I think that would be helpful. It would be helpful for me. Any other legislators want to chime in? If that's something easy for you to do, I don't want you to have to do like triple work or anything.
I think you'll be surprised at how brief the report is, to
okay.
be honest.
Okay, great. I'm so used to grant reporting where it's like multiple pages and complex information that we have to dig through to find our answers. If the report is one that we can just look at and understand it quickly, I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, and so there is a like we did this last time supplied that. If you want to look at it before before we submit, there's that available. But it was about five. We basically were able to. There was a mechanism from the portal to create a PDF, and that's what we submitted. And it was about 5 to 6 pages, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
I don't want to make too much of it.
Yep.
We have spent a lot of time figuring it out, and we have had a few problems and some questions we've submitted to U.S. Treasury, but I don't want to make it sound more complicated than
that. That sounds great. Molly, did you want to add something to the mix?
Yeah, I wanted to say that the report that you get is, it literally, when it's downloaded, it looks exactly like how it does when we're inputting the information. So it's not even like, it is a sophisticated like report. But I do think when we start to report on more projects, it could get a little bit lengthy, Nate. So, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, once we start, you know, if it starts to get too long, then we probably could put something together to make it more digestible. But right now it's literally, there's four things on it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Any other comments from Comptroller or from you, Alicia?
I would just like to say our understanding right now is that 1.8 million approximately has been expended. Among those four projects that they were talking about. So it will be good to see it. You know, when we generate reports out of New World, it doesn't simply give it by project right now, the way we're pulling it out. But, you know, I think that we will look forward to seeing, you know, how it's being aggregated, and just, I think this will be simple, like Molly was saying, and as it grows, it'll become much more interesting. It's not going to be that interesting.
Right. Go ahead, Molly.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say, I've been working with Megan in finance to create like a report based on project.
Mm-hmm.
So when we generate the report through New World, it'll be broken down by project. So it'll be really easy to look at. So I'm really excited about that.
Great. Thank you. We're looking forward to seeing it as well. All right. I'm going to move us along to the first document, which is the ARPA tracker and Amber's lovely pie charts. Do we all have this document that we're looking at? Megan, you like the pie chart? That's great, right? So
I'm a visual person, so I need to see like who's getting a big piece of my pie.
Absolutely. When I first saw it, I was like, yes, I love the pie chart. It looks really, really great.
Those colors.
Yeah, the colors. And everybody has a copyright, and everybody can follow along. So, all right, I think what we should do is just basically go down the list, making sure that we're really clear on what we spent. And Amber, do you want to walk us through this? Do you want me to walk through it? What do you feel? You want to do it?
It's totally up to you.
It's your baby. Walk us through this.
You might want to do it because I feel like I'll have to do the other ones.
All right. So brownfields. So the allocations right now, 750,000. That's pretty clear. The emergency management, the COVID pods, $324,995. The vaccine pods. Okay. So this is where we're going to start to get into some conversation, because for some of these, we've allocated the funds for 2022, but there is an intention for future year commitment to these, or could be needs for future years. So I think this is something that as we're looking at what's left in our spending, we also have to think about, well, what do we sort of in theory still want to continue to fund that's beyond 22? Or what have we actually said we are definitely going to continue to fund this beyond the fiscal year of 22? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, great. So this is one of them. This is the emergency management vaccine pods. So Amber, if I'm reading this correctly, for 22, we've committed $538,250. And there's an undefined amount for future year, correct? Okay. Correct. Great. Enterprise West Redevelopment, $170,000. The nonprofit youth and community programs. This is another one that, so we have for this fiscal year, committed $1.5 million, and, the nonprofit, let me just see this here. So it's a 3-year program in the capital improvement, program in that budget, right? And so the total program dollars proposed is $3 million. So we didn't allocate $3 million for this year. We've allocated 1.5. And so what has been approved is the 1.5, which is 50%. And then in 23, it's proposed $1 million, and then 24, 500,000. So that is going to be one that we're going to have to look at and say, are we okay with committing ARPA funds for those 2 years out? And so that needs to be a discussion amongst this committee. And I think this is where looking at our ARPA priorities is really going to help us. You know, do we see, I know, I'm just going to speak frankly. I know that this one was a bit of a hard one to push through in terms of passing. So I'm not sure that, I'm not sure how I would vote at this moment to say we're going to allocate more monies to this in the future, as opposed to some of our other priorities on the list. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. And I want us to kind of have a conversation about that. So just initial thoughts on what I just said. Legislator Sperry.
You're talking about the Small Business and Economic Recovery Program.
This is the not-for-profit one, and the same conversation will come up with the small business one.
Right. Okay. And so that is that it's like earmarked for a certain amount of money, but then it's meant to be spent out for over the course of like 3 years, right?
Yes. So it was, so the nonprofit one was proposed at $3 million. Mm-hmm. And the small business was proposed at $2 million. What we funded this year was 1.5 for the nonprofit and 1 million for the small business.
Mm-hmm. And just for clarification purposes, no amounts have been dedicated for future years funding.
Right. So these proposals, when they were made, where were they made? Was that in the executive's bucket of when the amounts were sort of
That's correct. It was initially resolution 333 of 2021, which then was kind of trumped by the adoption of the 2022 to 2027 capital improvement program, which included all of these ARPA buckets in different values.
Right. So I don't know if you all remember the history of that for those of you who weren't here, but we needed to create some buckets basically to receive the money. I mean, is that correct? Is that how I'm stating that correctly? We basically had to create a resolution saying, you know, we're going to be accepting this money. And so we worked with the executive team, but there was pretty clear communication that these buckets were in theory, they were not set in stone, and so that we were going to be adjusting things as we saw the real needs that were happening and projects that came up. And I think we were all quite clear about that from the executive team and from the ARPA. Well, there was no ARPA committee at that point, but the sort of group of folks who were talking about this most. Anybody else want to add anything to this? Okay. So yeah, Comptroller.
Chair, can I just say something? And that is, as you get close to the 2024 deadline, I think it's going to be really important to recognize that even allocating the money for this purpose is not going to meet Nate's definition and the IRS's definition of obligated. Mm-hmm. And so as we get closer, as we sort of finish, you know, going into 23, et cetera, obligated is really going to be like you allocate it to the nonprofit thing, you know, bucket. Yep. And you put out the call for proposals and you're in contract with nonprofits to get the money out the door.
Got it.
So, yeah. And that has to be done by the end of 24. So I just wanted to mention that.
No, that's a great thing to say because we have to look at that date and think backwards all the time. Exactly. Where are we at? And you know, things take several months to get. I mean, we'll have traction on that program because it will already have been, it will have been executed with multiple nonprofits. So we'll already have all that work done. But I think you're totally right that we just have to have that goal date and look backwards and say, okay, we need 6 months to ramp this thing up so we really actually get it to through the finish line. Nate, are you in agreement with that as well?
Yeah. I just wanted to thank you, Comptroller Gallagher. I think that's an absolutely excellent point. From where I sit, I'm very happy to have this month to catch up, maybe like you all. And the fact that we have approximately $22 million of funding authority, maybe two-thirds, let's say, of the total is a reasonable place to be at this point with our time frame of, you know, the end of 2024, because we are working on the nonprofit and we do have to get, you know, our RFAs, you know, the applications in, and then we have to create the contract. So there's plenty of work ahead just to get to that obligated point.
Great. Legislator Levine.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add the point that I know, you know, looking at the time frame of end of 2024, you know, it seems like it's a long way away, but, you know, according, you know, 31 months, you know, if my math is correct, is going to go quick, you know, so it's going to be important that, you know, that we get these, you know, contracts in writing and that we, you know, get the money allocated in a fastidious a way as possible, as quickly as possible. So that we're not leaving anything on the table. So it's going to go quick.
Agreed. And I'm sorry, I realized I was remiss in my thank yous. I want to actually send a thank you to Nate and Molly and the other member of your team. I know you all jumped into something that was complicated as well and sort of had to build the plane while you're flying it. So thank you for doing that. And I know that you've been working hard on that. And so thanks for being part of the ARPA team. Appreciate that. All right. So the next on the list is the three administrative positions, which I'm referring to right now. And so that is, the estimated total, 1.2, right? Or is this the 1,203,799? And that is over a 3 year period. Is that correct? The 3 year period. Again, we'll just be looking at those costs as the year goes. And so are those, if we're talking about there's a certain date that has to be all spent by, how does that jive in terms of the work time, you know, the work dates that you're actually doing? Are we going to, how do we do that? And Nate, sure, give it a shot.
Well, I was just going to say that you're going to be spending it in that last, you may be spending it, you know, towards the end of whatever year that you're budgeted for, right? And then you'll file your report in the next quarter and you'll say, we spent it. Like, it's not really going to be a problem. It'll be obligated when the county budget is adopted, right?
Got it.
Yeah, the county budget would be the best point for obligation. That one, I think a good piece of news is that the resolution is there. So there is a funding resolution. I may need to talk to Bert more regarding, you know, luckily we have a funding resolution and we are in the budget for 2022, and then there would be the budget for 2023. And so I think we have plenty of time with that one to talk about how 2025 and 2026.
That's great. Just throw that on your back burner for some future thought of how that's actually going to play out. Yes, Comptroller.
Well, it may be that you want to think about not just a 3-year run for those folks if they're going to be managing projects into 25 and 26.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that number that you have now is a 3-year number.
Right.
So,
would that, we'd have to create a new resolution? We'd have to, I mean, how would that work?
I think that's a future endeavor. Like, that's not something that has to be done now, but okay. Just when you're looking at what's left, if you want to have a team of ARPA people to administer programs in 25 and 26.
Yeah. I think this is also going to be a conversation. I see Deputy Executive Kelly's joined us. So this will be a conversation with you since you're managing the team and looking at workload and saying, okay, this is realistically where we're at, and you know, maybe these jobs do sunset and then, you know, other staff from the county picks it. I have no idea what your long-term plan is for this, but you know, we will need to think about it at some point, right?
Sorry, yes, thank you. Yeah, and that's part of the work that we're figuring out now is how long these projects are going to take. Some of them are going to be more involved in terms of actually managing construction projects from design bidding through the entire construction project. You could be talking about a year or more on a single project. I also think the one thing that I'm concerned about in some of the recent conversations is we're just getting started on the municipal water and sewer project, which is going to encompass between 10 and 12 municipalities. And just in some recent discussions with some people in not just the towns, but also that work in the industry, we're a year out on even getting like the ductile iron piping for these larger municipal systems. So I have a feeling that we're going to potentially award these projects and then have a kind of a significant lag before we're actually shovels in the ground on at least the water sewer side. I think on the other side, in terms of like Elizabeth Manor or 368 Broadway, it's easier to get the labor force in for that and the supplies in, but it's still a challenge. And I don't know how long that part's going to continue. So I think it's a bit of wait and see on those ones.
Well, it's good that now we're thinking about it a bit. And,
yeah.
You know, as things become clearer, let's talk about how the funds relate to the time frame of the projects. And so we'll just put this aside for the moment, but let's not forget about it. Okay. All right. Great. Next one is the any more conversation about that? Yes, Comptroller Gallagher.
Chair Criswell, I just think that we should be thinking about advocating through, you know, our group entities like NACO and NYSAC,
mm-hmm.
that extension, particularly on infrastructure projects where it's very hard because of supply chain issues to get materials, that we may want to, you know, 6 months out or a year out from now, be saying like, hey, there need to be extensions for some of this ARPA funding. And I bet you we will see some.
That's interesting. I actually didn't know that extensions were potentially available.
They're not right now.
So you're going to create them. I like that.
I'm going to beg for them.
Perfect. I think that sounds great. I think it's really interesting and it seems reasonable to me. We're not going to be the only county that's in the same right. situation. You'll see by Amber's other report that there's a lot of sewer and water infrastructure dollars that are being allocated by other counties. So we're all going to be in the same boat of trying to get supply, you know, have supply chain issues going on. So can I take a pause here for a moment? Amber, can you call roll? I see that our other legislators joined us.
Yes. Let the record show that Legislator Corcoran joined us at 5:30.
Thank you so much. Legislator Corcoran, welcome. We are just going over the ARPA expenditures list right now. And we are on the information services. This is the Constituent Service Navigator division. So this was $405,792. And so this is in the operating budget and it's funded for 22 only. Is this another project that at some point we would want to consider for future funding, and where would that come from if it's not ARPA funding? I mean, talk to us about that, Deputy Executive Kelly.
Yeah, so we proposed this as part of the operating budget using county funds, and the legislature decided to use ARP funds
the first year
of the program. So we struggled a bit in terms of finding viable candidates, but I've recently filled out the whole team and we're full speed ahead on this, and I have reporting I'm going to be sending out to the whole legislature. That's kind of backward looking over the first quarter of this year, for which is obviously going to be more COVID focused, but now we're switching the dial and moving forward on the other programs. So
let me
intend on non-ARPA next year.
Let me play a little devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
Is this something that we might consider actually not using ARPA funds for this year and trying to actually put it back into county budget funds?
I'm game. That was our intention from the beginning, so I have no problem doing that.
Chairwoman Bartels, did you hear what I just talked about? Do you have an opinion on that?
I did hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that it's worth evaluating this and any other projects that have outstanding, including potentially as we get tight, you know, and I've mentioned it on the floor, projects like the brownfields where we approved, you know, 3 years worth of funding, but arguably we could use the second 2 years out of operating rather than ARPA, considering that we have much more latitude with what we could spend ARPA on.
I totally agree with you. I think we're coming up to a moment where we can really sharpen our pencils and look at all the lines and say, all right, really, is there some other place that we could pull this funding from so that we could have a real wide latitude in spending for some other project? And I think, Deputy Executive Kelly, you're up for that conversation as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So committee, let's kind of put that in our hats as well and think about that. Yes, Clerk Feaster.
I just pulled up the Constituent Service Navigator budget to actual, and to date they're at 5% of the adopted budget for expenditures.
Okay, so almost nothing spent at this point, right?
So we just, the fourth person will be starting on May 7th. They just have to finish out their role at emergency management, 911. So all positions by May 7th will be filled, but they're, you know, to Amber's point, there, it's certainly a savings in there, so it's not going to be fully expended.
Okay. Well, let's look at that, and let's look at that as a possible shift over.
I just want to correct myself. It's 11%. I looked at the wrong line. Sorry.
Okay. No worries. All right, great. Moving on to the any other conversation about that? Okay, moving on to the respite houses. We have dedicated 1.5 to that. Those are not actual costs at this point. And so I think this is also going to be one of those projects that we're looking at, you know, are we going to have what the rehab costs are? Is this going to be a new build? Is this going to be, I mean, again, Deputy Executive Kelly, you have thoughts on the respite houses?
I mean, in some of the initial discussions, because these, my understanding is the setup is that these are actual homes and in a community and not, you know, four bedroom. That's kind of what the setup was. So my original thought is to look at the foreclosure eligible properties and see if we could use them for public use and benefit. Certainly a respite house would be that. And then we would sell them to an operator. I have to see what's left on the auction in terms of the single family homes, because my understanding is that that thing was pretty hot this year in terms of purchases. So I'd have to look at what's out there in terms of viable locations, because I know that the intent of the sponsor was also to have these dispersed throughout the county, which makes a ton of sense.
I was actually a sponsor, so.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I was thinking of legislator Walter too. I apologize.
No worries. Yeah. The intent is probably Ellenville and then somewhere in the northern area of the state.
And I would honestly also consider being down in Ellenville today and then understanding that to really get to the Shawangunk and other side of the southern end of the county is pretty difficult. So if we were to really think of the southern end, it's not like it's really contiguous. We should also consider Gardner or Shawangunk and Walk Hill area too, in terms of resourcing something like this. So what I'll do is see what is still left on the foreclosure eligible list and see what's potentially coming up for next year. We have $1.5 million that's appropriated, so that's not a small budget. But maybe I'll see what's out there, and if something feels right, or one of the five properties that was considered for affordable, maybe one of those is viable for it. And maybe we can put together a small working group to discuss this more intently.
Great. And I don't think we're even limited to two. I mean, I think that was the goal, was two, but in theory, I mean,
more.
We could do three if we had the money and it seemed appropriate in terms of.
I think finding the operator.
I agree with you. I think that's going to be the.
I don't know that this exact model exists. I know that there's a different type of house. Rose houses.
Yeah.
So that's a different model slightly, is my understanding. And that's in Orange County. It's not right.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And so. Yeah, I think I'm open, and I don't know that it would be me. I would think that Joanna would be more appropriate for that working group since it's her area, but I think having that conversation and moving the ball, the appropriation's been approved, so.
That sounds great. Chairwoman Bartels, I saw you had your hand up.
Oh, yep. Deputy Executive Kelly mentioned it. I was just talking about going to mention the properties that had been pulled with the intent to think about affordable housing. I think that we need to look at those properties for this purpose as well.
Great, excellent. All right, moving on, Crisis Stabilization Center. I have to say it was very moving to be at the signing yesterday. That was really great. And Legislator Sperry was there with me, as well as Legislator Ushitel. And it felt great to watch that pen to paper at that moment. We have dedicated $3.3 million to it, and the acquisition was $2 million, which leaves an estimated $1.3 million for renovations. But we've also had conversations about creative ways to fund the renovations. Do you want to speak to that a little bit, Deputy Executive Kelly?
So we've talked about instead of using ARPA funds, we could just use bonds, our financing for capital. Our bond rate's still extremely low. And I'm not sure on the renovation cost size, but I don't think we need to use ARPA for that. I think another way to look at this is, let's see where we are in terms of overall fund balance. And is there, interest rates will be going up. I think we've going to see the first half point increases that I don't even remember when those were. But those are coming. So it may get a little more expensive to borrow. But I do think that we can do it outside of ARPA. That is the hope. And then there's also the state RFP, or they call it something else, for a crisis stabilization center is out now. So if we get state approval, then they can come in for capital construction assistance on the center. So we're really hoping to get that as part of this, but either way, we'll move forward.
That's great. And then in reality, if that happens, that will give another million or so into
back in.
Possibility. Yeah. So Legislator Erner, I see your hand.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. This is a little bit beyond the scope of the ARPA committee, but since we're talking about the site, what if any impact to budgeting will operations have going forward with whatever facilities we end up putting there? I know we're going to put, for example, the headquarters of mental health is going to move in there. Is there any projection as to the overall impact on operating budgets and where anything like that? Yeah.
I'll let you take that.
I'll get in touch with DPW in terms of the additional maintenance footprint that we need to maintain the facility, because it will be ours regardless of who operates the crisis stabilization center, so we'll be responsible for it. So I'll find that answer out for you.
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. All right, moving on. Silver Gardens Senior Housing, $600,000. The Ulster County Land Back Development Corporation, $1 million. COVID pay for CSEA is 801. So there's three buckets of COVID pay. UCSA and then there's UCSEA. So we've got those three buckets. So that's 801, 23, and 588. And then we've got the infrastructure and trails for the rail trail improvements. That was 2.1 million. Then we've got the 21 Elizabeth Street housing project, and this was 700,000. This was for the acquisition of the property. No renovation costs were included or requested, but there will definitely be costs associated with that. So I'm assuming that will come from where will that come from, Chris?
Which one was this?
This is Elizabeth Street.
So Elizabeth Street is intended to be a family emergency shelter, so that's 100% funded by the state. For single adults, it's not. It's a portion of what it costs, but for families, it's 100% funded.
Great. All right, excellent. Chairwoman Bartels, you had a question, and then I saw Comptroller Gallagher.
Yes, I just wanted to clarify. Your question had to do with renovation, not operation, right?
Yes, okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was renovation.
Yep. So the renovation cost is there's $100,000 coming from a state and municipal grant from Senator Hinchey. There's $500,000 in ARP funds coming from the city of Kingston. And then we're going to ask the Bruderhof to come in and do some of the I don't want to say lower skilled labor, but some of the non-technical work, which they've done at the Patriots Project as well. So we think with that grouping of funds that we'll be able to execute.
Great. Thank you for that clarifying question.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Chairwoman Bartels, do you still have your hand up, or was that the question? Yep, done. I see Chairwoman Green. Hello.
Hi. I want to ask a general question, but I thought this was a good time to ask. I want to be sure that while we're doing renovations, we're super insulating the building and ensuring healthy standards. I don't want to find out afterwards that we didn't raise the concern and it's too late now.
Noted. Thank you so much. Do you have anything to say to that, Deputy Executive Kelly?
No, I mean, I think we haven't purchased the space yet. It's not a completed sale, but I certainly appreciate that. And I'm just like the right time to really get people's attention on that, I think, is when we start to get in the construction mode on this. So Nate and the ARP team are going to be part of the project management team on that project, as well as all of them. Yes, Nate, you are. So Nate hears you, and I think that incorporating that into the early planning stages can happen. Thumbs up, yeah. Nate.
I raise it because I've had the experience multiple times of raising the concern and then being told it's too early, it's too early, it's too early. Whoops, I'm sorry, it's too late. So I want to prevent that from happening. And my other question, and I only raise it now because I'm not sure how long this meeting is going to go, but I have a work-related meeting at 6. Has any progress been made on low and moderate income energy retrofits? We have been discussing that as a possible project. And the last time I talked to Dennis Doyle in planning, he's indicated that it was, ready. And I haven't seen a draft or anything, but I just want to know the status of that. And I'm sorry if it's out of.
That's fine. We are going to talk about that later on our priorities list. But if anybody has any information on that right now, I'd love to hear it. So hearing crickets, there is no information on this at this point. And so I think this is probably a follow-up to Dennis and to figure out where that's at and what numbers are attached to it and looking at that in our ARPA priorities and seeing where that lands in terms of funding. But I think it would be great to get real numbers. Legislator Corcoran. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Legislator Green, and then Legislator Corcoran.
And I just want to say one other thing on that, and that is often low or moderate income households are tenants. And so we've been doing some brainstorming to figure out how some funding, maybe as a pilot project, could go in a competitive way to landlords, and in a way that the tenants would benefit, so that I won't take up the committee's time with details, but we are in the process of sharing those with Dennis Doyle and anyone else who's interested, just so that it across the board and not only benefiting low and moderate income homeowners who really do need the help, but and we really need people to start doing any energy retrofits.
No worries at all. And just so you know, you weren't here for the beginning of the meeting, but I said this meeting, we're going to basically taking a little pause and trying to understand where we're at financially, seeing what we have left, and then look at all our priorities to date. And so thank you for bringing that into the mix and to our awareness. Thank you. Legislator Corcoran.
I just wanted to quickly interject that Ulster counties wouldn't be exempt of the New York State Building Code. So the renovation of this home will have the correct insulation and energy efficiency required by New York State, under the code. So we won't get an exemption from that. So you could be assured that building inspector and code enforcement officer will hold our feet to the fire to the New York State code. So, that's my interjection as a code enforcement officer. I would do the same thing no matter who it is.
That's great. Thank you for that bit of information. That's important. All right, moving on. Water and sewer infrastructure by the town of Ulster. This is the Quality Inn project, $2 million. And then the ARPA Water and Sewer Matching Program, this is $5 million. All right, so Amber, now, the last one is, so we still have a proposed allocation, which is the jail demolition, and that is $1.5 million. That has not been approved yet, but it's on track. And then, Amber, could you address the four things that you have after that? Give us the bottom line of where we're at is what I'm asking.
The bottom line of where we're at right now, assuming the jail demolition passes the legislature, would be $9,484,655. If the decision was made to continue the vaccine pod at its current cost, to continue the non-for-profit program through the next 3 years and to carry small business through two full years or two rounds of funding, and then to continue Constituent Service Navigator for one more year, then the remaining ARPA allocation is $6,040,613. Keeping in mind that the estimates for personnel costs for the ARPA division are still a moving target. They're still just an estimate.
Great. Thank you so much for doing that. I think it's really clear then what we're looking at in terms of those carryover programs and then where we're at with our bottom line. But again, hearing now tonight that there could be some possibilities of moving some expenses to other lines, you know, that will be added to this pot eventually. So again, we're somewhere around the 10 million at this point, but it could be a little more, I think, and or it could be a little less depending on where we go. Legislator Erner, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. And just about the jail for a moment, you and I had talked, and I think through the chair, I'd like to ask Deputy Executive Kelly just to clarify why the county is taking on paying for this. There's some rumors going around that the original proposal for the developer said that they would do it, and I'm hearing that maybe that they never said that they would. Can someone please clarify that?
Sure, thank you. I'm not in a position to speak to like rumors that go around the county on any of the projects, so I think it would be fair to have Mark Ryder, Dennis Doyle, who have been a part of this from its inception, address the specific questions, which I know they're prepared to do in the Environment Committee since it already passed this committee. I'm not in a position to speak to that part of it. I haven't been part of that process.
Controller Gallagher?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I've reviewed the contract between Penrose and the Ulster County Housing Development Corporation, and actually the contract calls on the county to help the developer find funding for demolition. So there's an express statement in the contract that we will help them find funding. I'm happy to send you a copy of the contract, Legislator Erner, if that would be helpful.
Yes. Yeah, please. I'm not sure where the rumor comes from. I haven't seen it. So that would be great to see, and anything else that might have led people to believe that the developer said one thing and now we're being asked something else. But I that sounds great. Thank you.
Legislator Green.
Yeah, I would just also like to say that there's a difference between demolition and deconstruction in terms of materials management. And if we don't start implementing climate solutions, then it's on us what happens in the future. But I, rather than be negative, I'd rather be positive and ask that we set an example. And telling me something meets code, yes, of course it's going to meet code and not be exempt. I'm asking for super insulation, air sealing, healthy building practices, some of which may exceed code. And I think we need to do a cost-benefit risk analysis, especially on things that are building projects or renovations. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Legislator Corcoran.
Right now, you really can't even exceed code the way the energy code is written without doing air exchange, because it's under 3 on the air exchange. These houses are so tight right now. As building officials, we're actually concerned with that. So again, be assured that that house will be as tight as it can be with under 2 on the air exchange.
Great. That's what I wanted to hear.
Excellent. All right. I'm going to move us along to the next document, which unless anybody had any final comments or questions. All right, I'm going to move us along. So this fancy piece of work that Amber put together, I am going to let her talk about where she got the information from and kind of how she constructed it, and then kind of walk us through it a little bit. But when I read through it, it was so helpful for me to think about what we've expended so far, what we're looking to expend, and then what areas we haven't touched at all, and to look at it in relationship to other counties and where their spending has occurred. So Amber, if you could give us a tour of your fancy work here.
Thank you. I pulled data from the National Association of Counties website. They have a local government ARPA investment tracker available on the website. I did an export, and for the sake of time, I narrowed it down to New York municipalities only. The disclaimer on this from NACO's website is that this tracker was last updated on April 13th, 2022, and contains project data from the recovery plan submitted by local governments to the Department of Treasury on August 31st, 2021. So like us, we can expect that there were probably some changes, but this is the best that we have to go off right now in this moment. So what I did was organize it by categories. In order to create the categories, I actually read through every single description that they had so that rather than trusting someone else to categorize it or using the Department of Treasury's categorizations, I was able to own in a little bit better and categorize it in a way that was more useful. So I then, because the numbers were so different, decided to use percentages so that we can see how these New York municipalities are spending their total buckets. And you could kind of see these clusters where a lot of there was a great deal of money being put into economic recovery. In organizations were really focusing on health and mental health, on housing, and on water and sewer. So that's one of the major takeaways from that specific page. Then on the next page, I narrowed it down to counties only. And then I created a graph of the actual values so that you could see spending wise if there were like expenditures or like buckets planned to be spent.
Great. So if you've had a chance to look at this, I'd love to just hear comments about it. And again, for me, the biggest things that came out of it was just to see what we haven't spent any money on at this point and what we have considered priorities in our priorities list. For example, we keep talking about workforce development, but we haven't actually allocated any ARPA funds to workforce development at this point. Youth programs, we haven't allocated anything directly towards youth programs. Direct aid to schools, the arts, and broadband are also other areas of possible funding that we have not addressed at this point. So I thought that was a pretty useful thing to see for me personally. Other committee members' thoughts on the document or what it's bringing up for you? Legislator Sperry.
Yeah, I so appreciate this work that Amber has done because it really does help us to see how other counties are using their money and how we stack up against them. One of the things that I was thinking is, especially because when we were at NYSAC like a month or so ago, one thing that kept coming up over and over again was childcare and support for childcare. So I would say almost that you could even combine youth programs and childcare. And so if there's like some type of proposal in the future that we could support through that, that would be awesome. And then I do know also one of the things that was mentioned at NYSAC, and this is like both of those things, the childcare element and broadband was brought up by Hochul like a few times during that. So I don't know how that will trickle down from the state budget into the counties, but that might even be a collaboration between ARPA and state funding.
Right. Yes, Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. I just wanted to say I'm happy that we're putting a pause on the spending and considering everything. I'm working on two resolutions with the legislative staff and respect the fact that we're slowing down. I'm not putting them forward this month. And one is about food security, which is also missing from our chart as far as spending so far. And the other one is about youth programs. And I just wanted to let you all know that the food security component so far, I've talked to some farmers about creating nut trees on a variety of farms across the county so that we have long-term food security in a high protein rich food in farms across the county. The farmers I spoke to already said they're willing to share during times of food crises. And these are the types of long-term solutions I'm thinking about. So I just wanted to say I'm happy about the pause.
Thank you. And thank you for that information. It's great to hear. Other thoughts? Yes, Deputy Executive Kelly.
So in terms of workforce development, and this is actually back to, unfortunately she's not here, Legislator Green's point earlier on the retrofits. So part of the original concept for the program she's describing was to do the home energy retrofits for low to moderate income households, but to do it also as a workforce development program. So any of the contractors doing the work, or if we were partnering with REPCO, who is currently doing a program or getting ready to, that we would also be training the workforce. Part of the, I think what requires more investigation based on some of my conversations in the workforce development world is there's enough work right now. For the people that we'd be trying to attract into some of these labor type positions or to train for, they're so busy right now that I don't know if we're hitting the right angle quite yet there. So that's part of what we're trying to figure out. And Sharon from OET and part of this kind of constructed green workforce development group, we are engaged in that discussion. Chris Marks is also involved with that from SUNY. The other part of workforce development, and I think it was Legislator Walter who had that idea when we were discussing direct aid to business, we're really open to having that discussion about what program is the right program and what workforce we want to concentrate on in terms of creating the pathway to employment. So we're certainly ready to engage in that conversation. I think OET and OED and some of the industry, different industries that are currently struggling would certainly want to participate there. There was another, so we're, and I talked to the chair about this earlier this week, so we're getting ready to, on some level, and I don't know if it's ARP or what it is, but we have an RFP and we have responses about doing a mental health program for schools. And this came just out of the pure anxiety that came from all of the school children. Anyone that has school age children, they're still struggling to this day and probably will be for some years to come, just because of the uncertainty and the different way the schools were operating during the last 2.5 years. So this was also spurred kind of by former Legislator Parity's effort to try and do something in schools. And it was well-intentioned, but we certainly weren't in favor of how it was crafted, but the intention is real. And we do think that either through the program we're trying to design, or I was with the Ellenville School District today, there's state money that is trying to accomplish the same thing right now. So I just pinged that over to Joanna when I got back from Ellenville, is there seems to be multiple people working on the same type of effort. So there is a chance I do bring something before the committee, but I'll make sure that we do it in the same way, that the presentation will be made and the plan will be brought before everybody with enough time to consider. So I guess this is my way of saying maybe, and maybe soon. And if we were to do something, we would certainly have to get it in place by June or July. I would say July probably, just because making sure that the school systems that want to participate would have that time to plan. So that's kind of the youth angle. One last piece and then I'll be quiet. The second portion, like, again, this is originally envisioned as part of the non-for-profit program. It was originally $3 million. $1.5 million is the small dollar $5,000 to $50,000 grants that is non-capital. And then we envisioned a larger program of capital, where it could be I don't want to say municipal, but it was more to help do larger projects. And one that comes to mind, and Chair Bartels brings up the need for community kitchens, right? Southern end of the county, northern end of the county. That's kind of where this idea came from anyway, of up to $150,000 awards for about 10, you know, substantial projects, which could help them come to fruition. So we're still of the mindset that something like that should happen. I think the community kitchen thing is something that should certainly happen. And I think there would be a demonstrated need. So we're open to that part of it too. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Chair Bartels?
Thank you. It's a lot. I guess I'll start and move backwards. So the community kitchen, yes, it was, you know, was on the list, and I still feel strongly about a community kitchen in both the north and southern end of the county if it can bear it. And I think we could approach that project not as a part of a larger not-for-profit capital grant, but as a standalone project for the community kitchens. I know that Legislator Sperry is also been working and including other legislators and the executives team in discussions on the possibility of a meat processing facility, which I see in much the same vein, and could ultimately have a connectivity to workforce development in terms of training people for work that does not currently exist in the county but is highly needed. I think the idea of really assessing what line of workforce we would want to invest in training in the hopes of keeping through a program that potentially has a requirement of working within the county for a period of time, depending on the investment that the county makes in it. We had talked about that in relation to nursing, and I'm not sure where the governor's proposal to the same effect has gone or where it stands, and I would want to look into that. But I also think it would be valuable to determine what line of work would be the most productive. We certainly don't want to invest in training people for work that, you know, doesn't exist in the county or currently is not in need of new employees. As to the mental health for youth program, I just heard about this week from Legislator Walter. I was not aware of it, Deputy Executive Kelly. In terms of mental health programming, the many legislators the last term spoke of a commitment to creating a program or programming, and which came out of former Legislator Parity's proposal, which I think was well-meaning, but flawed in its approach. I would want, independent of ARP, I would want proposal. I would really want to spend in that discussion, particularly because it's not something that that generator began in this committee. I mean, if we're proposing to spend ARP funds for it, then this committee would be a part of it too. But I think it would necessitate an engagement of the health committee.
I think we just lost you, Chair Bartels.
As well.
Oh.
Yes.
We just lost you for a little while.
Do you have me back?
Now you're back.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know where you lost me.
I think we got the gist of it. Our funds and further
conversation. Health committee.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. The one thing that I wanted to add about the mental health for youth is just really, I think it's imperative that we get an understanding not only of what other funding's available, but of how the schools have spent their funding. The schools got a substantial amount of ARP funding, and I think it's important that we know how they've invested that funding and where they've placed mental health on their priorities. That's not to say that we wouldn't still prioritize it in our own way, but they are, you know, they are the front line of dealing with county's youth at this moment. So I would want to know how they've invested the money thus far. And I'm sure I have more, but I think I'll pause for a moment.
Thank you. I wanted to throw one thing into the mix, sort of riffing off what you just said, Legislator Barsh, tells about an industry that is a growing industry here in our county that could use some support. I had a proposal to fund Stockade Works, which is a workforce development program for the film industry. And it's a huge industry in our county, and it's a growing industry. And if we actually have a workforce that we can show to producers that we've got this workforce here in the county, that they don't have to bring people in, that they can get all their below the line folks at a reasonable rate, so they're not having to fly them in and pay huge per diems and do all those things. That could be a huge win for our county. And it's already, the momentum's already there. So what my proposal was to support Stockade Works in expanding their equipment and facilities so that they would actually have the ability to really start a robust training process for film folks. And I'd love to have further conversation with you, Legislator Sperry, about this, because I know this is your business. But I think that is an industry for sure that we could support. And to me, then it would tick two of these areas that we haven't committed to, which is workforce development and the arts. So I think I'm going to actually put that back into resolution form. I don't think we voted on it. Does anybody remember? Did we vote on it? Legislator Corcoran, do you remember? Did we vote on that last year? Or maybe Legislator Bartels, do you remember? Chairwoman Bartels?
I don't remember.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think we did either. So I'm actually going to put it into resolution form and probably put that in front of the committee just to see how that shakes down. Great. Chairwoman Bartels, you have your hand up. Did you want to say something else?
Yeah, I just, two quick things. I wanted to follow on, and then I remembered what the last comment. So yes, I mean, I think the film industry is probably, you know, if we do that and that work of the analysis is probably, would net out to be an excellent investment. It's a growing business, in the region. And as you point out, having local, skilled professionals, lowers the cost of productions coming into the region. So, and that's something that could start, you know, as early as high school in terms of internships and training. It's a wide array of jobs. So variety of jobs. So I just want to support you on that and say that I think that's an excellent idea. The other thing I wanted to bring up was about, Legislator Green's, request to get some more information about the green energy retrofits. You know, one of the things that I've struggled with on this front is really, and I would ask that, you know, any proposal that's related to the green energy retrofits, that it also includes some level of analysis of what's currently out there. You know, in other words, I would like to know for programs like the ones that NYSERDA is administering, which is essentially the same type of program, I would want to know what the waiting list is. Those programs do cover low-income property owners and renters in an identical manner. The eligibility for the program is on the person who's occupying the property, whether they own or rent. And so I don't know if there's a very long waiting list. The people that I know who have utilized these programs had essentially zero wait. So I think it would be important to know if we're duplicating a service that other funding already exists out there. To the extent that it's supporting a green energy workforce, that's a very different conversation. And And I think they don't have to be, they don't have to be connected. They could be separated out if in fact there isn't, a demonstrated need, that goes beyond the funding that currently exists.
Great. Thank you. Legislator Sperry, I see you, but can I take one pause for a moment in my excitement to get this conversation started? I actually forgot to approve our, get a motion to approve our minutes. So could I get a motion?
Motion.
And a second? And all in favor of approving the minutes from the last meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, last two meetings. It's the last two meetings. So it's the, let me be clear about this. It's the March 30th, 2022 meeting and the April 13th, 2022 meeting. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Business completed. Thanks, Deborah. Legislator Sperry.
So just to circle back to the supporting film production workforce development, you know, it is my wheelhouse. And as an educator, you know, who teaches people how to make movies and trying to keep them in the area and, you know, every whatever, they're always like trying to move to New York City or LA or whatever. Because, you know, they want to be famous. You know, there are initiatives. There's a couple of different stakeholders that are already in progress. You have the Woodstock Film Festival, Hudson Valley Film Commission, you have Stockade, you have Upriver, you have all of these different entities, which is great. But I think one of the things that we see is that folks that are coming up from the city are bringing their folks with them. You know, so they're not necessarily hiring local people because they have a crew and they're just bringing them with them. Sure, if people are coming to us from the West Coast, they might hire locally. But it's not necessarily that they're not wanting to hire locally. It's just that they already have a built-in crew or a team that they're already working with. I do think that there would be a good opportunity to explore supporting the Ulster County or the Ulster Community College media program, because, you know, they're more of a media studies program versus a media production program because they haven't had a lot of funding with equipment and such. So we get students that transfer to us at SUNY New Paltz from Ulster, and they have no production experience because they don't have the tools there. So I'm just wondering if maybe that's a good way of supporting that type of initiative, is through the community college. I don't know, this is a longer conversation that we can have, but I do agree that we should look comprehensively at the county and see where the holes are as far as workforce and really kind of be strategic about that. I know, you know, there's a lot of home improvement and carpentry and plumbing and, you know, trade oriented work happening in the county. And if we can be supportive in that way, great. But I hope that trade wise, we can be a little bit more strategic in helping folks get training and get jobs.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. I think with that, if nobody objects, I'd actually like to move us on to the final document, which is where we're going already. It's basically, it's the, Amber, actually, do you want to walk us through this? Just give us the once over.
The last document is the ARPA, the legislative ARPA priority results. So this was the survey that was circulated to the legislature. And what I've done with this is reorganize it so that anything that existed on this list that's already been approved is isolated. So leaving everything else in order, leaving the numbers in there, and kind of renumbering just what's left, just to show where, like, really what's remaining from the survey that hasn't yet been considered or voted on, and having it in isolation so that you have it for reference.
So we can kind of quickly go through the list here and see what we've already talked about. It's 6:20. I want to be mindful of people's time. So shall we do that? Shall we do sort of a quick run through of the list? Okay. Because I think some of these we've actually already had pretty robust conversation about. So the first one is the establishing of the community kitchen. We've talked about that. Second one is developing a public health nursing team. And I know that Deputy Executive Kelly, you had some opinions about this in terms of that might not be the workforce that we actually need right now, because anyway, I'll let you talk about it for a second.
Yeah, so our positions are full. We've had some turnover, and like at the height of the pandemic, it was certainly more difficult because we lost people. But at this point, that part has stabilized. So also within the governor's bill, this is speaking to workforce and retaining public health side. There's language that we're researching about retention and recruitment bonuses. So we're certainly looking at that part of it. So there may be state mandate. I don't know if there's state money.
Okay, thank you. I see Legislator Levine, and then I see Chairwoman Bartels.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question, clarification. For the value column for the projects that, you know, we haven't approved or have in the process, is that like for example, like for the community kitchen, $1 million value, was that $1 million that was proposed for that project, or
no, that was an estimate.
Okay.
And it could be a high estimate actually, but we just wanted to put something in there as an estimate.
Thank you for that clarification. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah, Legislator Bartels, Chairwoman.
Thank you. So can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Oh, good. Sorry. It's a wacky phone. So on the public health nursing proposal, you know, I think at the point that we were discussing it, we were deep in the COVID crisis, and not that we're not still in the COVID situation, but certainly things have stabilized. But I, on that front, I would want to get a sense, if not for county public health nurses, is there a demand and a need for a nursing workforce in the county at the local hospitals? And that might be something that we need to talk to the local hospitals about, whether or not that kind of program could feed the local workforce at the local hospitals and other healthcare facilities, with the knowledge and the understanding that, you know, nursing is a robust career choice. And so I think there's still value to looking into that, even with the governor's proposal. My understanding of the governor's proposal without all the detail is that, you know, it's more of a statewide proposal, so it might not specifically benefit Ulster County, you know, in terms of a pipeline to hiring, and it might keep people in the state, but not necessarily in the county. So I think we could do a micro version of it still. And then I just wanted to comment on Legislator Levine's comments. I think from the earliest estimates in talking to community action with regard to what a renovation in their kitchen would cost, and also in contemplating the possibility of a southern community kitchen, I do think that estimate is very high, even for the two kitchens, probably at least by, you know, it could probably suffer a 50% cut and still be more than enough.
Great, thank you for that clarification. I put that number in just so you know, because I wanted to put some sort of number in. So we'll adjust that number to 500,000 for the next time we send this out. Does that sound realistic?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, great. We'll do that. All right. Next one is the funding of Cornell Cooperative Extension to expand food service programs. And Deputy Executive Kelly, can you talk to this just a little bit?
Yeah, so Amanda Laval, we were getting ready to have her present for this month's session on a plan for food access and security. So we tabled that just in favor of taking the breather. But I'd be happy if we're going to continue. If maybe we do that in the next meeting, I can have Amanda come speak to it. She's really done a lot of work on this, and this comes out of her work doing the resiliency program during COVID. And I don't want to step on what.
It's great. I heard an initial presentation several months ago. And so, yeah, this.
Okay.
I think it'd be great for the committee to hear that.
So do you think next when she is ready?
I think that this meeting was our pause, take a moment, yeah, kind of get our finance. I think next meeting we can go back to hearing proposals.
Okay.
We probably won't be ready to vote on anything, but
yeah,
what I'm imagining is that, you know, we'll let this meeting sink in. People will have comments. We'll kind of regroup and think about our priorities again, and then we'll be ready to hear some proposals and think about where our next spending might happen. Committee, does that strike you as a good method? Okay, great. All right, next one. Funding to access and implement broadband expansion. And then I see that it may be possible to pursue this under federal infrastructure funds rather than ARPA funds. Yes, Comptroller Gallagher.
Yeah, I just want to speak to that for a second. It turns out that there are going to be significant tranches of federal funds coming for broadband, but they are only going to support cable fiber broadband. So if there is any community that cable fiber broadband is not financially feasible for, they are not going to be able to use wireless broadband. There is going to be no federal money for wireless broadband or Starlink or any sort of satellite. So I wanted to just mention that because you may want to keep that in mind. Actually, the county GIS folks have been mapping existing broadband and bringing the map up to date, and we're probably going to put that out in the next week or so for public comment so people have a chance to look at it, and then that'll hopefully work into the state map over the next 6 months or so. So
that's great to hear. And you know, the thing we might do is we might actually look at some of these other counties that did fund broadband and understand better. Did they have some sort of insider information that made them use ARPA fundings for it rather than state fundings? So that'd be good.
Yeah.
I see Chairwoman Bartels and then Legislator Levine.
Thank you. I just had a question in the mapping, and this is through you to the comptroller, Chair Criswell. In the GIS mapping of broadband, which I think that's a really critical component of this, is really understanding community by community where there is need and where there are holes. And so I'm wondering two things. One, is there a lot of collaboration with the local supervisors and municipal leaders because they probably have the best handle on needs in their communities? And two, is the outreach on the maps in terms of public support going to be beyond using the internet for outreach? Because obviously, if you don't have internet, you're not gonna know about a hearing or a plan via the internet.
Right.
Great. Sorry, I don't want to take up a tremendous amount of the ARPA committee's time, but actually, I'm going to be convening a citizens commission on digital infrastructure next week, and we're going to be looking at some of those issues. Supervisors were directly involved in the mapping, so it was town supervisors with highlighters and maps, because you're right, they absolutely are the ones who know where the gaps are. There were 14 towns that were unserved the last time the county did mapping, which was over 10 years ago. And one town has been completely served, that is New Paltz, but there are still towns that have areas that are not served by cable fiber broadband, and supervisors were directly involved in that. And I appreciate your comments about getting it out in ways other than just the internet. Unfortunately, we're gonna have to rely on the supervisors also for that, because you know, there really is, at this point, through my office, no budget to mail a map to every single person in a certain area. And so we're going to have to rely on, you know, radio, television, newspapers, internet, and word of mouth. Yeah, but I appreciate what you're saying, and I'm open to other ideas. And Chair Bartels, I will send you a link to the map because there's parts of your district that I think are impacted.
Great.
So you can take a look at it.
Excellent. Legislator Levine.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to make a comment regarding the chart that we were provided with the various counties and municipalities and their ARPA expenditures so far, especially in regards to the broadband that was just brought up. I see Onondaga County, Syracuse and its environs, spending $15 million and Dutchess County $1 million. I mean, so in regards to what the controller just said, with having, cable fiber, broadband internet access, this funding would only be available for that cable fiber broadband. Is that correct, controller?
No, what I meant was that the new federal infrastructure dollars will only be available. ARPA is much more flexible, and that's why you may find that it's necessary to deploy in some regions. I don't know yet. I don't think we have the answer to that, but federal infrastructure dollars are specific to cable fiber broadband.
Thank you for that. I misunderstood before. I appreciate it.
Deputy Executive Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. So thank you, Comptroller Gallagher, for that. It is an important distinction. In terms of what we were envisioning, because last mile and actual fiber line construction is extremely expensive. So what the county was looking at, because we're doing this entire PSAP project and building out additional radio towers for our emergency communications, is where can we do a point to multi-point installation for wireless? This is something that Sullivan County did an RFP for their entire county, and their topography is very similar to ours and in some respects is more challenging. So I think if we were to still engage in a broadband project, it would be on a limited scale and where we could use the emergency communication towers and high points to do this point to multipoint, which spreads a wireless signal. You'd have an installation in your home and then it spreads to the others. And that's how you would create kind of that mesh net that you do in your house. You'd be able to do that in these other locations. There are limitations to this. So, that's why the federal government's only going to really chase after these harder installations with their money. Our part of it would also have limitations in terms of we'd want to cluster it. We'd want to hit areas where there are some populations there. But we'd be able to probably piggyback off of our own fiber installation that powers the county and be able to do this on a much lower cost. So I think it's certainly worth exploring. And I think, so the controller, am I going to steal, I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, go ahead.
All right. So she's got a commission that she's forming that we're going to participate. She invited us to, where we're going to get everybody in the room to really begin to discuss the issue, the funding, how we should best accomplish the goal of getting everybody covered. So we're looking forward to participating in that part of it. And I think we should bring this piece to that table as well. It's not an easy problem to solve.
I like that idea. And I also look forward to seeing some sense of numbers so that we can better understand that with what's remaining of the funding here.
Okay.
So, yes, Comptroller.
If I could just say, when I first asked the director of IS, Alan Macaluso, about the cost of just a small pilot on this, it was remarkably inexpensive. So the first pilot could be under $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting because it brings up another question about our ARPA spending at this point. We've talked a lot about big projects that have long-term impact. Are we at the place now where we're wanting to do some smaller projects that have long-term impact, spreading the money a little? This is a philosophical thing that we have to decide. Do we want to spend $8 million on one big thing and call it a day, or $10 million and call it a day? Or do we want to spread this out a million for 10 different projects? So I think as a committee, we have to think that through a little bit and make some decisions based on that. And also, I remember when we first started, there was a lot of conversations about seed funding. or making sure that whatever we funded was not something that became, you know, an albatross around the county's neck for forever that we had to continually fund. And so I think we need to recognize that as well in terms of, you know, what are we funding and then who's going to fund it afterwards, you know. But something like infrastructure, I mean, there's going to be maintenance costs. But to me, that's a win because you put in that big one-time expense and then, you know, it obviously there will be some expense associated with, but not that great one-time initial expense. So, all right, let's cruise through. It's 6:37. I definitely want to get us out of here before 7. So the next one is standby generators for emergency use during a crisis. And then there's a whole bunch of other small things that are in here. Can you explain the grouping of this, Amber? This is the one that's starts with number 10, standby generators for emergency use during the crisis.
Oh, so when I reviewed the legislature's survey, their priority results, I grouped things that were like in nature. So, for instance, when we were initially discussing the water and sewer project, anything that was like for a specific municipality was then grouped into that overarching water and sewer project. So similarly, standby generators for each town, I grouped with reconfiguring traffic patterns for, you know, specific areas, anything that was like very geographically condensed and infrastructure related was grouped into that. Another grouping was for parks and trails. Those things were grouped together. So I just kind of wanted to emphasize that not all of these suggestions or priorities are terribly different from one another, and that there might be some similarities that you might want to consider.
Great. Okay, thank you. Yes, Deputy Executive Kelly.
Sorry, there is an interesting tie-in to make with regard to the emergency generators. So this is both coming out of the food access and kind of security issue, but also the recent ice storm and our need for county shelters in multiple locations. So while I wouldn't want to support just buying a generator for every town hall, what we're doing coming out of our after action report is looking throughout the county and identifying suitable shelter locations. So in the event that we have to move people south, we're set up, have backup power. But the other point of this, and this is something where Amanda LaValle really got my attention on food access and security, is we also have to make sure that not only do we have suitable power, but the ability to prepare food in a shelter location and store food in a shelter location. So really, this thing gets tied together with Everett's emergency planning, shelter planning, along with food access and security. And only Amanda can really link those things in such a way that crystallized it for me, where at first I'm like, no, I don't want to buy generators for everybody. And then I'm like, oh, I just spent 6 days managing an ice storm with my team, and we need to make sure we have generators everywhere. So I don't know if it is ARPA. I really don't. But it's something, and it's something that we're actively working on and that will be costing out. So I think I'll mention it to Amanda just to mention it, but there's something to be said here just in terms of countywide planning for the next storms that come. Maybe it's not ARPA, maybe it is, but I think it's certainly worth conversation having. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. And I agree. So many people suffered in this storm. And so I think that as a county, what we can do to show that we saw that and that we're looking at ways that we can help ease that suffering for if there's another round. That's great. All right, moving us along, we are talking about legal counseling for residents facing eviction. So it's funding to legal services of the Hudson Valley. I don't know where that lives on people's priorities, but that's there. I'm just gonna keep moving on unless somebody raises a hand and wants to talk about something. county provided scholarships through SUNY over the green degree programs. All right, I'm going to move on. Establishing funding a matching program for park development. So this is something that Legislator Stewart is going to bring forward. So he had brought forward the idea of Grady Park, which we as a committee defeated. But I talked to him about looking at the structure that Legislators Maloney and Petit created for the water and sewer project, and suggest that he mirror that type of language for a countywide pot of money for parks for municipalities to have a matching program. So it would be a very similar structure. It's a high ticket price that he'd be asking. That's $5 million. That would half of our funding would be gone at that point then. So I think we'd have to look at that, but it's an interesting proposal, and he's going to bring that forward at our next meeting. Legislator Levine.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to make a point that I think you might have skipped over the Housing Smart Communities program.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. The letters are so tiny. my old eyes are struggling, so thank you. Thank you for that. Did anybody have any comments on the parks? I mean, we'll see that in a more fully developed. It's Legislator Sperry.
I'm just wondering if, I'm wondering if this is an opportunity for workforce development as well, with like trail maintenance and like that type of training, because that was something that came up when we were having the conversations about funding the trail extensions and like the legacy costs. And I know I've spoken to some folks at Walk Hill Valley Land Trust, and, a lot of these different organizations are like literally beg, borrowing and stealing like volunteer help to like keep their trails like clean and safe. And, every time we have a storm and they got trees going down, blah, 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 blah. So I'm just wondering if there might be an opportunity here to include some money from workforce development as an opportunity to train folks on that type of work.
It's a really interesting idea to sort of broaden the definition of what municipalities could be funding. I think that's quite interesting. Any other opinions on that? But I think that sounds interesting. Yes, Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. Yes, Legislator Sperry just reminded me during the conversation, we talked about how Grady Park is about a quarter mile from the DNH the O&W rail trail. And so these types of parks can have priority for access to existing rail trails or the Catskills or the Gunk trailheads. What was the other point I was going to make? I forgot it, but, also shared signage. If we have a full county plan, then if we're creating signage about flora or fauna, for example, we can create signage for 10 parks instead of just one. So I think this is a great idea for the whole county.
I like that, economy of scale. That's nice. Okay, moving on, or moving backwards for a second here into the developing Housing Smart Communities program. Yes, Deputy Executive Kelly.
So this was part of this is part of the housing action plan that the county has, and it was part of the original ARPA proposal that the county executive's office put forward. So this would be to hire a consultant, as originally envisioned, in order to help towns and municipalities create kind of housing friendly and smart growth based zoning. So we can actually do some actual affordable housing, so get away from 5-acre zoning and large housing tracts, and encourage infill in hamlets in different areas to, obviously clustered housing is usually cheaper and would incentivize that part of it. So this would be to partner with the municipalities to do that planning. We did in the budget pass and Dennis is hiring a housing planner. So, and I know Mark Ryder has had recent conversations on this specific program, not even related to ARP, but just in general, how we're going to proceed. So I think I can get an update from Dennis and from Mark on that part of it, if anybody's interested. It was a high dollar item, I think, originally envisioned at like 800,000.
Yeah, it has 800 in here, so.
Yeah.
Like, that number's changed, it'd be great to know.
Yeah, I think we need to get a level set and an update from them and see if that's changed. I think it has.
Great. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, next one is funding an EMS response study. Yes.
Yeah. So we have formed an EMS task force to study the provision of all EMS services in the county. We're moving closer to hiring a consultant to help move this work along. It is not going to be even close to what was estimated. And, you know, I'll make the consideration with the executive team on the appropriateness of ARPA versus other.
Okay, that sounds great. And there's no dollar amount attached, just so you know, on this
document. Yeah, and the original plan, again, going back to this but not being wed to it, was $2.4 million in emergency services. $2 million was envisioned as part of the soon-to-be-proposed government operations and emergency 911 center. Mm-hmm. That's not part of any of our thinking, and it hasn't been for some time. And then there was $400,000 for this countywide EMS study. It's not going to be that. So. It was originally significantly different to the point of, you know, I'm revisiting the ask on that altogether.
Okay, great. Sounds good. The next one is Community Center for Youth Recreation, Educational Programs, and Emergency Warming and Cooling and Energy Response. Okay, so I think this is really the Community Center for Youth Recreation. All right. Funding for programming for inmates, including parenting classes, job searching, money and budgeting. All right. Funding to provide assistance on properties due to foreclosure. All right. Funding to Youth Bureau to provide annual field trips to youth to regional mountain trails.
That was my proposal.
Yeah, Legislator Hewitt.
This is based on the youth department in the town of Rochester and their successful field trip program. And I was skiing one time at Bel Air, realizing that this is in our county and it is a privileged sport that not everyone has access to. And so it's a state-owned mountain, and I thought if we can create a youth department-based program that helps get ski tickets and access to Mohawk Mountain, the Minnewaska trails, provide the funding for the shuttles, the food, and the entry to these parks, and possibly work with Wild Earth or another nature program to create lifelong experiences around education in the parks. So this is a way for working with youth programs, but also to embrace recreation.
So I love programs like this. I'm just curious what your thinking was on why ARPA funds.
Great question. I spoke to Vicki today, and we're starting to think this could be a better long-term program for Ulster County because the access component and the ability for many types of people to access this is part of the chaperone component, and giving chaperones the ability to not only be parents but any community member to join these trips. And so Mike Baden is working with me on the budget items of what it takes in the town of Rochester to create our annual field trips. And so we have a lot of work to do still. That's why I didn't want to move forward quickly to see if this can be an annual program.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. Next one, we've got funding with nonprofit to provide green home retrofit program. We've talked about that already. Where are we at next? Funding to... housing organizations that assist with renovations and upgrades for smaller, like single or two family, to get them back into the housing rental market. All right. funding towards the educating, growing, and processing of industrial hemp. It's interesting.
Yes, Alexa, I didn't want to go ahead.
Sure. This is something that I've had conversations with Cornell about, and they've done a little research, and we're still like conversing about how to possibly move forward. But the latest idea or pitch is to get mobile decorticators, which are machines that break down the hemp, so the farmers could go, if we could set up a hub somewhere in the county where the decorticators are kept. The farmers could rent out or borrow the decorticators for a week or two, take it to their property, break down the hemp for whatever use that they need it for, and then bring it back, and then somebody else could borrow it. So that's kind of where we're leaning right now. I don't know if that's going to be an ARPA ask. Chris, do you want to add anything to that?
Sure. I'll just mention that the decorticator turns the biomass, primarily the stems and the roots, into herd and fiber. And the herd can be used for many things, including plastic composites. The fiber can be turned into clothing, paper, all kinds of things like that. This machine doesn't work on the fuel component or the food component with proteins from the seeds. But what we're thinking is it's very affordable to get a couple of mobile ones. And 3 years ago, when CBD became huge, many farmers rushed to grow it for the flower of the plant, and then they got stuck with all of the rest of the plant, which is actually valuable. And if they can process it with a mobile unit, they won't have to burn it like they did 3 years ago. So that's the rationale.
Great. Thank you. All right. Funding to UPEC for the arts education program. I actually don't think that this is appropriate for the ARPA funding, but it is something that I'm going to continue to propose, that we support our arts in the county, especially UPEC. They do so much work with our youth, and I think it's really important. And so I'll propose that in some other fashion. We've talked about the film training, production training. We talked about that. And then we also talked about the processing, the industrial meat facility. So we've hit all the items on here. What I would like to recommend is I'm going to send the committee an email to have three questions to think about. One is to look at the priorities list again and really come up with what are the priorities, looking at the information now that we've looked at with other counties, what they're spending on, what we've spent on but haven't spent on. So let's compile. I'm going to ask each legislature to compile their own priorities list of even just areas. You know, we need to fund this area, youth, workforce development, whatever it is. I'm also going to ask you to think about, do we want to try and fund a couple large projects, or do we want to try and spread this into several smaller projects? Because we need to think about how we're spending this money. And I think that that's a very pertinent question. And then lastly, I'm going to ask about, are we going to try and continue funding those projects that we've already funded, which are the red items on the sheet? It's the vaccine pods, the nonprofit program, the small business program. And we're probably already not going to do the Constituent Services Navigator program, if what Deputy Executive Kelly was saying. So just think about those programs that we would have to commit longer term dollars to, and do we want to do that or do we not want to do that? Because that would certainly, again, free up a little bit of money. So those are my big questions that I'll send out to you to try and have some answers back by the next, since you don't have any scoring to do, you need a little homework project, right? For the next week and a half. I used to be a teacher, you know that, right? So it comes out every once in a while.
Teachers are overrated. I am one. I know.
So again, I just want to reiterate my great thanks to you all for all the efforts you've been putting into this. And I thank the ARPA team, Chris. I didn't thank you. You were not here, but thank you for your work, and Comptroller Gallagher and your staff as well. Alicia, I want to thank you for the work that you've been putting into this. So thank you. If there's anybody I missed, I'm sorry, but we're spending this money wisely. I feel really proud of what we're doing, especially when we look at it and compared to other counties. I feel like we're doing a really, really great job, and we're going to have deep long-term impact on our community. Legislator Levine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had one quick question going over the pie chart. The graph page from all the other municipalities. I was just wondering if it would be possible to I'm looking for the information as to see if the information's on the chart regarding how much, like as a percentage of each, I know it's a percentage of each county's spending so far that they've spent on each program that's in here, but is it possible if we can find out the information how much each county was allocated and how far into their pot that they are already, if that information is available to be disseminated?
I can absolutely make that change.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Legislator Sperry.
I just wanted to tell Deputy Executive Kelly that we are having another meeting with Cornell this Friday at 1 p.m. If you are available, I can send you the Zoom link.
Please do. I really want to be involved in that one. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Great.
Can I interrupt the chair?
Absolutely.
I want to thank the chair and this committee members because I have to say that this has been, it's a hard process. It's once in a lifetime type money, but being in this committee and the decorum and everything that's going on, it's a lot of hard decisions and hard conversations. But in this committee, I have to say that we've always done it respectfully. So to all of you, and I really do appreciate it. So thank you for making this constructive.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. If there's no more questions, I just call for a motion to adjourn. Great. Legislator Corcoran, a second, please.
Second.
Legislator Sperry, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Great. Have a great night. See you again.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.